if I just believe in something, it's all going to happen. We like leaving everything up to God because it absolves us of responsibility. Faith is believing in someone or something worth believing in.
Hi, this is Jason Prater, one of the pastors at New Hope Community Church. I want to say thank you so much for downloading this podcast, downloading this app. We've got a great message for you today. Stay tuned after the message. We have some exciting ways for you to get involved.
Good morning. How are we today? Time change Sunday and you all made it here. We thought we'd be by ourselves this morning. Thank you all for coming. It's exciting to see you here. It's good to have you here today. And if you were tired before, you can't be tired after that worship. That's the Pointer Sisters right there. They're amazing. We're going to have the three of them up here more often. Just a couple real quick things before we dive in today. We've got our pledges. So we've got the new building that we're hoping to build here, that we're hoping to get started here this year. So if you've pledged and you haven't had a chance to turn that in when we take the offering at the end, we want to encourage you to go ahead and put your pledge in the offering basket, and we're going to trust God for big things on that one right there. And then I also just wanted to remind you that Easter Sunday is coming up, April 1st. Cannot believe it. And that's a really big Sunday for us, for us here at New Hope Community Church. We've got a Sunday morning, a sunrise service, and we have three services. Last year we had, I think it was over 1,300 people on our campus during that day, and it'd be awesome if we had 1,500 to 1,600 people this year. We can only do that if you help us out, so we want to encourage you to invite your friends, invite your neighbors, invite everybody you know. You know, they say that there are two times a year that that people who don't normally come to church will come to church, and one is on Easter and one is at Christmas time, so this is a great time to invite your friends. We got a great service for you, so we want to encourage you to do that on Easter Sunday. All right. We're in the middle of a series where we were talking about the parables. Pastor Russ is leading us on this. He and Janie are actually, they're actually out in the town this week, and they're in New Mexico. So please be praying for them. They're heading back on Monday. And as all of us know, Russ and Janie work so hard for this church. They work so hard for us. So any chance that they can get to take a weekend away, we want the best for them. So please be praying for them as they're away. And they'll be back next week. But we're in this middle of the series where we're talking about parables, and we're looking at the parables of Jesus and these stories that he shares and the lessons that he shares from them. So today we're going to continue in that. We're actually going to be talking about faith. So I'm excited about this message today. So to start us off, I thought what I'd do is ask us a couple real quick questions. What is faith? What is faith? And do I need more of it? So one of the things I like to do, I kind of like interaction with you guys. So I'm just going to shout out the question, what is faith? And I want you to tell me the answer. What do you think faith is? When you hear that word faith, what do you think it is? Somebody tell me. Trust, okay? Believing without seeing. Commitment. Hope. God, I love it. These are great answers. First service gave me nothing. I'm still tired or something like that. This is great. This is a more Christian service right here, I guess. I'm kidding. I love first service, okay? Do we have any more? Trust, faith, hope, believing when we don't see. These are great answers, God, okay? So here's what I want to do today is I want to juxtapose what the Bible is going to say about faith and what culture says about faith. So there are two things, and as Christians and those of us who are here, we live in this tension always of what culture says and what the Bible says. So let's start off by looking at what culture kind of says. So these are four definitions from the Webster's dictionary that kind of talk about what faith is. So let me give you some definitions. The definitions you gave were really, really good. Number one, faith is allegiance to duty or to a person, okay? Number two is faith is fidelity to one's promises. So if I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. That makes me faithful. Number three, faith is belief and trust in and loyalty to God. So it's about my loyalty to God. Number four, faith is a firm belief in something for which there is no proof. And somebody said that out here today. If I can't see it, I still believe it. That means that I have faith. Now here's what we're going to see is that for most people, faith is about believing, okay? It's something I believe. So, you know, like Walt Disney World, you know, when you wish upon a star, your dreams come true. It's kind of a belief that I have. And so I've got some quotes that I want to show you today that kind of show that. J.M. Barrie, I don't know if you've ever heard of his name, but you're going to know who I'm talking about here in a second. Here's his quote. He says, "All the world is made of faith and trust and pixie dust." What do you think he wrote? Peter Pan, that's exactly it, J.M. Barrie. John Lennon, the great theologian and philosopher. I believe in everything until it's disproved, so I believe in fairies, the myths, dragons. It all exists, even if it's in your mind. That's what John Lennon would have to say. J.R.R. Tolkien. Now, I actually like this one. This is pretty good. Faithless is he that says farewell when the road darkens. So when the road gets dark and I walk away, I don't have faith. Madeline L'Engle. Some things have to be believed to be seen. That's kind of true, right? Some things have to be believed to be seen. And then Whitney Houston. Y'all remember Whitney Houston? It's my girl. When she sang the national anthem, nobody sang it better, man. She went way too soon. So here's what she sang with another diva called Mariah Carey. They sang this song, and it said, it went like this on the chorus. There can be miracles when you believe. The hope is frail. It's hard to kill. Who knows what miracles you can achieve? When you believe, somehow you will. You will when you believe. And it's fun I was listening to that song the other day. I was going back to, I think it was in the 90s or something that they recorded that. And it was fun to listen to that and those words that if I just believe in something, it's all going to happen. When you wish upon a star, all your dreams are going to come true. So that's kind of what culture talks about. So one of the things we're going to see is that for culture, faith is about believing. Okay, but we're going to talk about the juxtaposition today. So for culture, it's about believing. What we're going to see is for Christians, faith is about believing and doing. Believing and doing. So there's one thought that I want you to take away from today. Okay, if you take nothing else, it's time change Sunday. So if you fall asleep, I will not be upset with you whatsoever. All right? Some of us are still back in the other time. But if you get anything out of the message today, here's what I want you to understand. Okay? Faith plus action equals life transformation. Faith plus action equals life transformation. You take nothing away today when you're at Chili's and or In-N-Out or wherever you're going this afternoon, I want you to take these words away. Faith plus action equals life transformation. So let's do this. Let's go and dive into some scripture, and then we're going to talk about what faith is, what it looks like for those of us who call ourselves believers, and we're going to start with this scripture right here. Now, I'm reading out of the Message translation. And I love the Message translation because it speaks like I speak. So maybe if you're here today and you say, hey, I'm kind of new to this Christian thing, or I'm not sure if I want to be a Christian, but I'd like to dig into the Bible, but some of the translations of the Bible that I read are kind of weird, and they've got these, you know, find the Message because it's really good. It speaks in language that you and I would speak in. So here we go. Matthew 17, 14 through 16. At the bottom of the mountain, they were met by a crowd of waiting people. So they're talking about Jesus and his disciples. So they were met by a crowd of waiting people. As they approached, the man came out of the crowd and fell to his knees begging. Master, have mercy on my son. He goes out of his mind and he suffers terribly, falling into seizures. Frequently he is pitched into the fire, other times into the river. I brought him to your disciples, Jesus, but they could do nothing for him. Jesus said this. Now watch this. A lot of times we have this image of Jesus being the kind of guy who plays with sheep and little kids, which would make him really weird, actually, if that's who he was. But when you study the Jesus of the Bible, when you study the Gospels, and I have, what I see, honestly, is a man's man. I see a man who came down, he was on mission for 3 years. He knew he had a job to do, and everything he said was pointed and was focused. We can learn a lot of things from the life of Jesus, not just the God side of Jesus, but the man side. So you're going to see this in here. No matter what translation you read, you're going to read this. This is a Jesus that is not always this tender little guy that we think he is. No, Jesus was a man's man. So here's what he has to say right here. Jesus said, "What a generation! No sense of God, no focus to your lives. How many times do I have to go over these things? How much longer do I have to put up with this? Bring the boy over here." That's what's his response. And then he ordered the afflicting demon out, and it was gone out. From that moment on, the boy was well. Then the disciples come into the picture. So when the disciples had Jesus off to themselves a little bit later, they asked, "Why couldn't we throw out the demon?" And then Jesus says this, "Because you're not taking God seriously." The simple truth is if you had a mere kernel of faith, a poppy seed, say, you would tell this mountain, move. He's pointing to a mountain. You would tell this mountain, move, and it would move. There is nothing you wouldn't be able to tackle. It's very important. So we're going to be looking at this verse that we just read. These verses, we're going to be looking at them over and over today, looking at this issue of faith. So let's start off with this. We're going to look at three things today. And then we're going to wrap it up with a nice, neat little bow. But the first thing I want to talk about is this. Faith is believing. Okay, so let's define it. What is faith? Faith is believing. So let's go back to the verse, verse 19. When the disciples had Jesus off to themselves, they asked, why couldn't we throw out the demon? And Jesus says this, because you're not taking God seriously. Okay, now I have a real quick question for you. Okay, it's a little bit of a trick question, but it's a question. Okay, now if I came to you on this bright sunny morning and I told you, hey, I've got a deal that you cannot refuse. Now let me tell you about my background real quick. Okay, me. I have no financial background whatsoever. None. I balance my checkbook once a week and I keep my fingers crossed that it all adds up the way it's supposed to add up. Okay, so that's my financial background. Now I come to you and I tell you, hey, I've got a deal that you cannot refuse. I want you to give me all the money that you have. Okay, if you own your house, I want you to sell it. I want you to give me that money. If you have cars, I want you to sell them. I want you to give me that. I want you to sell all your furniture. Then I want you to move to a Motel 6 for 21 days. And at the end of 21 days, I will have quadrupled your money. You'll be a multimillionaire. If I told you that, how many are you going to take me up on that? Hey, I got one over here. I got one. I'm down. I also have some property in La Jolla. And her husband's sitting there shaking his head. He said, no, you don't. No, you don't. Most of you would not take me up on that offer. Why? You're smart, okay? You're better than that. Now, this gentleman right here, who knows who this man is right here? Warren Buffett, okay? You guys know, very dignified gentleman. Warren Buffett comes in here, pushes me off the stage, okay? Now, Warren Buffett, here's what you need to know about him. If you Google right now the top investors in the world, you'll come up with three names. One is Carl Icahn, George Soros, and then you get Warren Buffett. And I think he's number one. He's worth, I believe it's $64.9 billion, okay? Can you imagine that? I can't even picture that many zeros, but that's how much he's worth. Warren Buffett walks in here, pushes me off the stage, gives you the same deal. Will you take it? Yes, most of us would take that. We'd be smart enough. Why? Why? There's no faith in me. I see how you guys are. I've known you for 3 years. This guy walks in here after 1 second, and you'll take his offer. Why? Because he has many, 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 many years of investing behind him. He's worth $64.9 billion. I'm not going to tell you my net worth, but you're going to trust in this guy right here that he's going to make it happen for you, right? Because you've got faith that he's going to make it happen. So that brings up our next point that I want to look at here. Faith is believing in someone or something worth believing in, okay? Faith is believing in someone or something worth believing in. When it comes to finances, you would not put your trust in me. You would put it in Warren Buffett. Why? Because he's proved himself over many, many years, and he's made a ton of money, right? I have faith that this stage is going to stand because I know the people who put this building together, and I know that this building was put together with a lot of care and a lot of hard work, and so I have faith. If my 3-year-old daughter made this stage, I'd have no faith whatsoever that this stage would work. Or if your kids made it, I'd have no faith whatsoever that this would work. But I have faith. Why? Because this is something I can believe in, right? It's something worth believing in. So I have a couple real quick questions for you this morning. Do you believe, as we talk about faith this morning, do you believe that God is who he says he is, according to the Bible? Do you believe that? And then if you do believe that, how does this inform your faith? So if you say you have faith in God, do you really believe that God is who he says he is, the God of the Bible? And if you do, how does that inform how you live and how does that inform your faith? So that's a question only you can answer, but I think it's an important one. And we got to understand that faith, it starts off with the belief. Do I believe in who I'm putting my trust and my faith in? Do I believe that God is who he says he is? Okay, so faith is believing. Let's look at the next thing here. Number two, faith is obeying. Okay, so once we believe, this is important for those of us who call ourselves Christians. Once we believe that God is who he says he is, the next step is we have to have a mindset of obedience. So let's read the scripture right here. I love this right here. Proverbs 3, 5 through 12. It says these words. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything that you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. Don't assume that you know it all. Run to God. Run from evil. Your body will glow with health. Your very bones will vibrate with life. Honor God with everything you own. Give him the first and the best. Your barns will burst. Your vats will brim over. But don't, dear friend, resent God's discipline. Don't sulk under his loving correction. It's the child he loves that God corrects. A father's delight is behind all of this. So what is God saying when he's saying this right here? Well, here's what he's saying. He's saying this: listen for God's voice in everything that you do, everywhere that you go. And if you obey him, he will keep you on track. If you go back and read those words that we just said, man, those are great promises. And if we believe that God is who he says he is, if we have that belief that God is who he says he is, the God of the Bible, then we can trust that if we obey him, if we follow after what he says, then great things are going to happen in our lives, okay? All right, there's a great promise there that if we trust the God that we call God, great things are going to be on the other side for us. So if you obey him, he will keep you on track. Now, here's a question I want to ask you today, because there might be someone here today who's asking the question, well, how do I know what God wants from me? How do I have this understanding of what God wants from me? And here's what we believe at New Hope Community Church. We believe this, that the Bible is the guidebook for our lives. Okay, so that's what we believe. Other people have different philosophies that guide them in their lives, but at New Hope Community Church, we say it's the Bible that guides our lives. So again, if you're here today and maybe you say, look, I'm not a Christian, or I'm not quite sure about this whole Christian thing, or I am kind of a Christian, or I'm trying to figure this thing out, and I'm trying to get into the Bible, but I don't understand it because it's a big, big book, and I've got the New King James Version or the King James, and I can't understand it. Here's what we've got for you here. We've got pastors on staff. I just want you to know this. We've got pastors on staff that can help you. We've got discipleship and leadership training for men and for women, and we're actually working on something this week for our men. It's going to be exciting. We're going to roll that out in the next few weeks here. Small groups, we'll talk about that later. Small groups are a great place for you to know and understand the Bible better. And then also the people around you, surrounded, I say this quite a bit, you're surrounded by some of the best people in Chula Vista, Southern California right here. So if you don't have an understanding maybe where the Bible is, there's someone in this room who's got a greater understanding and can help guide you through this. But this is what we would say. We would say that the Bible is our guidebook, but here's the deal, okay? Doesn't matter if we read the guidebook if we don't obey what God says for us to do, right? So what we understand with faith is we have to believe it, and we also have to obey. We have to have a mindset of obeying. So the first two things we've talked about today is that faith is believing and faith is obeying, okay? A mindset of obedience. And now we're going to go to the third thing, and this is my favorite one. We're probably going to stop here for a little bit because I think this is really, really important. Faith is doing. Faith is doing. So let's go back to our saying that we've got. If you take nothing away from today, take this away from you, okay? Faith plus action equals life transformation. And this actually isn't on your notes. I woke up this morning and this kind of hit my head, so this is a free one for you. You can write it in there if you want. But we're going to repeat this over and over. Faith plus action equals life transformation. Now, let's talk about what this means. What does it mean to actually do? What does it mean to have action mixed with our faith? So let's go back to the verse we were reading earlier. Because you're not taking God seriously. So why couldn't we cast out the demons the disciple asked? And Jesus said, because you're not taking God seriously. He said, the simple truth is that if you had a mere kernel of faith, a poppy seed, say, you would tell this mountain, move, and it would move. Now, here's the deal. We like leaving everything up to God because it absolves us of responsibility. Sometimes, maybe not everybody, but for some of us as Christians, it's easier to leave everything up to God because it absolves us of responsibility. And I go back to this, and I've said this from the stage before, the whole philosophy and theology that I grew up with in my hometown back in Indiana was let go and let God. So somebody would get on the stage and they would say something like, let go, and the congregation would say, let God, and that's what we all believe. We believe in this idea of you let go and you let God do all the work for you. But the reality is that's just really bad theology. But we like to say that because I don't have to do anything. If I just let go of everything, then God's just going to do all the work, and I don't have to do anything. Let me give you a real quick story from my own life. So back when I was 23, 24, I'd just gotten out of the Army, and I was going to college, and I worked at this it was a psychiatric unit for teens or whatever. And so I worked there at nighttime. So I would work from 3 till 11 o'clock at night. So what we would do is we'd put the kids down about 8 o'clock at night, and then the staff, we'd kind of sit around, we'd process the day, and then we'd have some time just to chat. And one of the guys that I worked with on a normal basis was an atheist. Really great guy, but he was an atheist. So, and back in that day, I was a Bible thumper. I was the kind of guy that just said things, shot from the hip. And I was like an uneducated guy that didn't know what I was saying about the Bible. So I would just say things all the time. So you have an atheist and a Bible thumper in the same room. And it was interesting. We have a lot of interesting talks. We actually got along really, really well. But one night we were having this conversation, And we were talking about what we wanted to do with our lives. So I asked him, and I think he wanted to be a doctor and a psychiatric doctor. That's why he was working there, and he was in college and stuff. And then he asked me, he said, "Well, what do you want to do with your life?" And I told him at the time I was going to kind of a large church, and I was singing on their team, and I wanted to travel and sing to different churches. I wanted to be a gospel recording artist and make albums and travel and sing. He said, "Oh, okay, well, cool, cool, cool. So what are you doing about that?" And I said, "Well, man, that's a great question, atheist. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm praying about it. I'm praying and I'm having faith, Mr. Atheist, because that's what we do." I'll never forget what he said to me. Never forget what he said to me. I still remember it to this day. He said, "That's all good that you're praying and having faith, but don't you have two arms and two legs to help make that happen?" I mean, it was like someone punched me in the gut. An atheist. And I remember looking at him, and I wanted to slap him across the face and tell him, "Look here, you godless heathen. I don't know how you do things in the real world, but in the church world, we pray and do nothing about it. That's what we do. All right, so take that, Mr. Atheist man." I didn't say that to him, but I was thinking that, because I was 23 years old, grew up in a church, and never heard somebody tell me, "You got two arms and two legs. Why do they have, I've got them, right?" Never had somebody tell me that, "Hey, if you feel called to do something, go do it. Go make it happen. You don't have to sit around and pray about it all the time." Never heard that in my entire life. Changed how I saw a lot of things. But here's the deal. I'm telling you what an atheist says, okay? That's going to get me into trouble if I keep down that path. Let's see what the Bible has to say about it, okay? So what he says changed my life, but let's see what the Bible has to say about this. So in order to do this, we're going to look into the book of James. And here's the deal. I've got a lot of verses to read here, but I think we need to read all of them, because I want all of us to have this understanding about what the Bible says about faith plus action. Let's not take it from the atheist or from me. Let's take it from the Bible. So stick with me here. We'll read these verses, and I think you'll have a better understanding of what the Bible says about faith and action. So here we go. James 2, 14 through 26. "Dear friends, do you think you'll get anywhere in this if you learn all the right words but never do anything? Does merely talking about faith indicate that a person really has it? For instance, you come upon an old friend dressed in rags and half-starved and say, 'Good morning, friend, be clothed in Christ, be filled with the Holy Spirit,' and walk off without providing so much as a coat or a cup of soup. Where does that get you? Isn't it obvious that God talk," watch this, "isn't it obvious that God talk without God acts is outrageous nonsense? I can already hear one of you agreeing by saying, 'Hey, sounds good. You take care of the faith department, and I'll handle the works department.' Not so fast. You can no more show me your works apart from your faith than I can show you my faith apart from my works. Faith and works, works and faith fit together hand in glove. Do I hear you professing to believe in the one and only God, but then observe you complacently sitting back as if you had done something wonderful? That's just great. Demons do that, but what good does it do them? Use your heads. Do you suppose for a minute that you can cut faith and works in two and not end up with a corpse in your hands? Well, wasn't our ancestor Abraham made right with God by works when he placed his son Isaac on the sacrificial altar? Isn't it obvious that faith and works are yoked partners, that faith expresses itself in works, that the works are works of faith? The full meaning of believe in the scripture sentence, 'Abraham believed God and was set right with God,' includes his action. It's that mesh of believing and acting that got Abraham named God's friend. It is not evident that a person is made right with God not by a barren faith, but by faith fruitful in works. The same with Rahab." We're almost done. "The same with Rahab, the Jericho harlot. Wasn't her action in hiding God's spies and helping them escape that seamless unity of believing and doing what counted with God? The very moment you separate body and spirit, you end up with the corpse." Watch this. Separate faith and works, and you get the same thing. Here's what that scripture's saying. If you have faith, but you have no works, you are dead. So I'm all prayer. Pray, 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 pray. I get in my prayer closet, and I pray. Do a prayer circle, and I pray, 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 pray. I don't get up and do anything. You're dead. Same on the flip side. If you're doing, but you got no faith, not praying, not anything. It's the mixture of the two, faith plus work. So I have a question for you this morning. What do you have faith in that you need to take more action on? That's a question for you. Because at the very beginning, remember we asked the question, do I need more faith? Okay, what is faith and do I need more of it? What we would believe is you don't need more faith. Probably what you need is more action. A lot of times, see, as Christians, we know what we need to do, we just don't want to take the action to make it happen. So we say things like, "I'll pray about it." You know, I see a homeless person. You know, they don't have any food or clothes. I'll pray about it. I'll see what God wants. You don't need to pray about it. Just take an action. You got a buck in your pocket. Make it happen, right? But a lot of times we don't want to do that. So the question for you this morning is, what do you have faith in that you, in your life, need to take more action on? Okay? Now let's wrap all of this up with a nice little bow. Watch this. If you believe, obey, and do, your faith will be life transforming. If you believe, you obey, and then you do, you take action, your faith will be life transforming. Let's go back to that verse that we read earlier. When the disciples had Jesus off to themselves, they asked, why couldn't we throw out the demon? Now watch this. Because you're not yet taking God seriously, said Jesus. The simple truth is, if you have a mere kernel of faith, the poppy seed, say, you would tell this mountain, move, and it would move. There is nothing you wouldn't be able to tackle. Now, when I read this verse, I've actually heard people who read these kind of verses, and they say things like, Jesus didn't really mean you could actually move a mountain. Jesus was being sarcastic. You know, when Jesus told you, if something caused you to sin, cut off your right hand or left hand or whatever, you know, he didn't really mean that. Look, the man that I study in the Bible, the Jesus that I study in the Bible, was a very serious man. He came for 3 years of ministry. And in those 3 years, I mean, this is a guy that gave up his life for you and for me. That's not a guy I would call sarcastic. That's not a guy who just says things flippantly. We don't want to believe it because what he says is pretty tough. But here's what I believe, and this is actually pretty inspirational. Okay, so let me give you an example of how a mountain could actually be moved. Okay, so this is just an example. And then we're going to apply it to your lives. So we've got a mountain back here. I think it's called Mount Miguel back here, right? Right? And it's got the towers on top, okay? So we've got this mountain back here. Let's say you walked into this room next Sunday. You heard this amazing message, and you thought, okay, God's telling me I've got to move a mountain. So you walk in here and you tell all of us, God's telling me to move a mountain. Now, when we all got done, God's telling me to move Mount Miguel. Now, when all of us got done laughing at you, okay, a bunch of laughter would come up. You would say, okay, I don't know what's happening here, but you believe God has really told you this, okay? You've had prayer, you believe God's telling you this. So what do, right? So here's the faith in the works. So what do? You say, God, I have faith. Everyone's laughing at me. I think of Noah back in the Old Testament. God said, hey, I want you to build an ark. It hasn't rained in years. You want me to do what? He still did it, right? So it's the same thing here. I want you to move that mountain. We all come in. Nobody believes you. Everyone's laughing at you. But then what is it that you do? You say, okay, God, I believe you. I believe you're asking me to do this. So you begin praying about it. God says, I'll guide you. So then over the next couple of years, you go out and slowly and surely and slowly, surely. Because if you're going to move that mountain, you've got to have some laws that change, right? And you got to raise a ton of money, right? Because that's not going to move cheap, right? So you go out, and over the next 2 to 3 years, you go around to churches and you share the vision that God has for your life. Start raising up some money. You get $1 million, $2 million, $3 million, $4 million, $5, $6 million. Maybe this is over the course of 10 years. I don't know. Maybe it takes a long time. But the millions start to roll in, and then you meet a senator or a congressman, and they say, I don't like that mountain there either. That needs to move. I've got the same vision you do, so let's pass laws that moves the mountain, okay? You pass the law that moves the mountain. That takes another 12 to 13 years, or whatever it might be, okay? 20 years later, you've got the money, you've got the laws passed, the mountain needs to go. What do? You take the $67 million, $60 to $70 million that you just raised, you go hire bulldozers, you go hire people, you hire everything you need. You get people out there, and within another 5 years, that mountain is gone. I'm serious now. That mountain could be moved if we wanted to make it move. So we read things like this in the Bible and we say, well, that's not true. It is true. What we think it means is this. If I have faith, I just go raise my hands to the mountain. And you're going to see me at Mount Miguel this next week over there. Move. Move. It's not going anywhere. It's not going anywhere. And you're just going to look silly. And you're going to make all the rest of us look silly. So please don't do that, right? But faith plus action says this. Okay, God's telling me to move that mountain. God's telling me to move that mountain. What actions do I need to take right now to make that thing happen? And it could be hard, and it could take years and years and years and years. But that means that we've got to do the work to make that happen. So here's a question I have for you today. What is the vision God has for your life? Every single one of us has to understand. We've got to understand. That's why our shape class is so important. The vision God has for your life. Every single one of us needs to know that. So what is the vision God has for your life? And then what steps are you Or what are the steps that you can begin taking to increase your action and move the mountains in your life? See, we don't need more faith. What we need is more action. So what is in your life that's a mountain standing in front of you right now? Maybe it's a relationship issue. Maybe it's a marriage. Huge mountain. And you're saying, God, I need more faith. No. What are the actions that you can begin taking mixed with the faith that you have? Maybe it's a financial issue. Things are going wrong in your life, finances, and you just can't get over the hump. What are the actions you begin taking now mixed with the faith? Maybe it's an issue of a coworker or someone at work that you can't stand, or a boss that maybe's got it out for you, or something at work that's not going right. You know, I know we have a lot of teachers, and I grew up in a family of teachers, and I know for a fact that some of you teachers have that one kid that you care about in your classroom. You've got that one kid that you're reaching out to, and it's a mountain. You can't get through to him. You can't get through to him. What are the actions you might be able to take over the next few weeks to watch God open doors in that situation? So I believe that God is absolutely true when he says, look, if you've got faith and if you've got the action, you can help mountains to move. So again, going back to our saying for today, faith plus action equals life transformation. Faith plus action equals life transformation. 4 points to wrap up very quick. Faith is measured by what I do and not by what I feel. Okay? So faith is my action that I take. It's not about, hey, I feel a certain way on this day, and so I don't do it, or I don't obey today because I don't feel like it, or I obey, you know, today because I do feel like. No. Faith is based on what I do, not by what I feel. Number two, faith is only as powerful as the object it's placed in. Again, I walk in here and I say, I got a deal for you. 21 days, stay at the Motel 6, and I'll make you a multimillionaire. None of you are going to believe that. Warren Buffett says it. Why? Because you've got faith that Warren Buffett can make that happen, right? It's the size. So what size is the size of your God? Do you believe that God can do what he says that he can do? Number three is this, and I love this one. Faith doesn't rescue us, it guides us. Faith doesn't rescue us, it guides us. Now watch this right here. This is really important for us to understand. Faith is never about the outcome. It is always about the process. So I don't want any of us to walk out of here this morning and say, hey, man, I heard this message today, and what it's saying is if I just have a little bit of faith and I put a little work behind it, all my dreams are going to come true. So that's kind of like a self-help message. That's not what we're saying here today, okay? Faith is never about the outcome. It is always about the process. Now, I want to read you something because it's important that we understand that today. Now, on the back of your outline, I put a scripture there for you. It's from Hebrews 11. Now, we're not going to read all of this, so don't get nervous, all right? But what I did was I highlighted certain words there for you because it's really important. It's really important that you walk out of here today and you understand that faith plus action is life transforming. Okay, so when you read this, Hebrews 11 is what they call, it's called the faith chapter. So in the Bible, it's the one where all the heroes of the faith, it tells their story, and it starts off like this. It says something like, by faith, Abraham, such and such. But every time it says, by faith, Abraham, it's always followed up with the verb. Okay, so let me give you some examples here. By an act of faith, Abel brought. By an act of faith, Enoch skipped. By faith, Noah built. By an act of faith, Abraham said. By faith, Abraham offered. By an act of faith, Isaac reached. By an act of faith, Jacob blessed. By an act of faith, Joseph prophesied. By an act of faith, Moses' parents hid. By faith, Moses refused. By an act of faith, Israel walked. By faith, the Israelites marched. By an act of faith, Rahab welcomed. There's always, whenever it says faith, there's always an action that goes with it. So this is important for us to understand. If you say you have faith, but you have no action, you ain't got any faith, okay? This is from the Bible here. But here's what it's important to understand about this, okay? Down at the very bottom, in the small fine print, it's important for us to read this right here. Here's the deal. These are the big dogs of the faith right here, okay? That's why they were put in Hebrews 11. This is the faith chapter, okay? But here's what we need to understand, because I want you to understand this is not a self-help message and a feel-good where you walk out of here and if I have faith and works, it's all going to happen. None of these people, as we're getting ready to read, ever saw anything that they put their faith in. Watch this right here. Hebrews 11, 39 to 40. Not one of these people, talking about these guys right here, even though their lives of faith were exemplary, got their hands on what was promised. That's depressing. God had a better plan for us, that their faith and our faith would come together to make one completed whole, their lives of faith not complete apart from ours. Faith is never about the outcome. It is always about the process. Never about the outcome. It's always about the process. So what we're not saying here today is that I have faith and works, it's all going to work out for me. These guys right here, the big dogs, it didn't work out for any of them the way they thought it was. Right? There's a... Most of us know who Janie Cox is, right? She's Pastor Russ's wife. You know, if you've had a chance to interact with her, you know she's a wonderful woman. Janie and her and Russ started this church 30 years ago. We're actually celebrating 30 years this year. It's very exciting. Got some great things planned. But Janie's been on her own walk of faith recently. Most of us know that she's struggling with her health. She's got health issues, and she's fighting a tough battle. And the doctor said 2 years ago she would be gone, and she's still here with us. And here's what you know. When you talk to Janie Cox, and you try to ask her about herself, what she wants to know is all about you, right? That's the kind of person she is. But I've had a couple times where I've asked her, you know, how are you doing, and what about your life, and what about your journey? And the thing that I've heard her say two times is this: my faith just gets stronger. The cancer's still there, the disease is still there, but you talk to a woman like that, and her faith just keeps getting stronger. That's the example I'm talking about today. Well, she understands that just because I have faith, it doesn't mean that all of this is going to go and that everything's going to turn around, but understands that faith is about the process. It's not about the outcome. So just because you have faith in works doesn't mean everything's going to happen the way that you want it to, but this is what God has said. You will grow by your very act of faith, and that's what we see here in Hebrews 11. Number four is this. Ultimately, faith is simply trusting God enough to do what he says he will do. Do you believe that God is who he says he is? And then do you believe that he's going to do what he says he's going to do? So to wrap up here, our little saying, faith plus action equals life transformation. It doesn't mean life's going to go the way you want it to go. It doesn't mean everything's going to turn up roses for you and it's all going to be fun and hunky-dory. No, no. It just means this. Life will be transformed for you. Next steps. Next step I'll always give up here is join a small group. At New Hope Community Church, our tagline, our mantra is relationships for life change. So we believe this, that being a Christian is tough. It's not easy. It's not for the faint of heart. And so we want you to join a group because you're going to find other people that are going through what you're going through. You know, financial problems, marriage problems, you know, whatever, or life's going really great for you. You know, you'll find people that are going through the same thing, and you can turn around and help other people that maybe aren't going through the same thing that you're going through. So again, last thing. I can't say it enough. Faith plus action equals life transformation. If I believe, if I obey, and if I act, those three things, that is what faith is. Let's pray. God, I want to say thank you so much for today, and I want to say thank you for the opportunity to speak on the subject of faith. And God, I pray that every single one of us, as we walk out of here today, that we would be men and women of faith. Understanding that it's not just praying and it's not just about motivational sayings, but it's actually about doing. And God, I pray that if there's something that you have for each and every one of us, that maybe there's something you're placing on our heart, that we would have enough faith and enough action to go after whatever it is you called us to do. I pray this would be a great week for every single one of us, that we'd be men and women, again, of faith plus action. We love you today, God. Thanks so much for a chance to be here at New Hope Community Church. In Jesus' name, amen.
I hope you found this message meaningful to your life. If you're ever in the San Diego area, I want to personally invite you to visit New Hope Community Church, located in the East Lake community of Chula Vista. I also invite you to follow us online on Twitter or Facebook. For more information about our church, visit our website at newhopeeastlake.org. Thanks again for listening.